Ferraz.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudeh, ki ustvarjajo duh časa. Na Radiju Študent.
Drage poslušalke, cenjeni poslušalci, lepo pozdravljeni v Zeitgeist, v katerem danes govorimo o prostotrgovinskem sporazumu med Kolumbijo in Združenimi državami Amerike, ki je stopilo v veljavo pred dvema dnevoma. Podpisano, oblikovano pa je bilo že leta 2006. Prav tako je pred dnevi, pred kakšnim tednom, Evropska komisija sporočila, da namerava do septembra poslati v Evropski parlament v sprejetje tudi prav tako za enako zadevo gre prostotrgovinski sporazum med Evropsko unijo in Kolumbijo, pa še Perujem. Pa začnimo z Združenimi državami Amerike in pa prostotrgovinskim sporazumom s Kolumbijo. Kamen spotike je bil saj za kongres odnos Kolumbije, predvsem politike, tajnih služb in drugih organizacij, kot so paravojaške organizacije, policija in podobno, do sindikalnega gibanja. Tam v Kolumbiji je namreč največje število sindikalistov na svetu umorjenih, kar 3/4 sindikalistov, ki je ubitih v Kolumbiji na svetovni ravni. Kaj se je zgodilo na tem področju, pa nam bo povedal več David Maher iz Univerze v Kentu.
Colombia continues to be the most dangerous place in the world for a trade unionist to form a union or to be a member of a union. There's quite a lot of debate about this because, for example, the homicide rate of trade unionists has declined in the past, but the threats which paramilitary groups make to trade unionists, has gone through the roof. It's increased massively. So it seems that the tactics are changing from direct murder, from the direct murder of unionists, to threatening unionists. Now the problem has been, or at least the problem of ratifying this in Congress has been the trade union issue, has been a huge problem for supporters of the government of Colombia, for supporters of the free trade agreement. There are provisions in place, but the problem is that they don't seem to be very, very stringent. They don't seem to be very, very solid or secure.
Kakšna pa je sicer varnostna situacija v Kolumbiji in ali se je na podlagi primerov dobre prakse, kot so si jih zamislili v kongresu, kakorkoli izboljšala?
When people measure the conflict in Colombia and the security situation in Colombia at improving, they use indicators like kidnapping, for example, which is a horrible and egregious practice, but that's, even if you take the wildest estimations of a couple of thousand per year, the number of displaced people is hundreds of thousands per year. So the argument could be that the security situation is actually declining. This is happening, this displacement is happening.
To je, kar se tiče varnosti, skratka, sindikalistom se grozi na drugačne načine, pa še vedno jih mnoge ubijejo, sicer manj kot pred leti. Kar se pa tiče ljudi in pa izgubitve lastnine, zemlje, na katerih gojijo razno razne rastline, pa je situacija enaka oziroma še slabša. Vse več jih je pregnanih iz svojih domov. Za trenutek pa se še posvetimo sporazumu med Evropsko unijo in Kolumbijo. Ta je bil pred več leti, recimo pol desetletja, zastavljen kot sporazum širše narave, sporazum, ki se ne bo ukvarjal samo z prosto trgovino med Kolumbijo, Perujem in Evropsko unijo, temveč z Evropsko unijo in celotnim andskim področjem za Andsko zvezo, ki vključuje tudi države Peru, Ekvador in Venezuelo. Skozi čas so se zadeve spremenile, več od teh držav je odstopilo od oblikovanja nekega sporazuma z Evropsko unijo, ostali se samo še Kolumbija in Peru. Prav tako se je skrčil obseg sporazuma, ki naj ne bi bil zgolj prosto trgovinski, vendar tudi bi se tikal tudi političnega dialoga med dvema zvezama in pa razvojnega sodelovanja. Poslušamo Tomasa Frica iz Centra za raziskovanje in dokumentacijo Čile Latinska Amerika iz Berlina, organizacije, ki je skupaj z Transnational Institutom na Nizozemskem prva zapisala obsežen dokument potem, ko je v javnost prišla prva oblika prostotrgovinskega sporazuma med Evropsko unijo in Kolumbijo ter Perujem.
One of the objectives of the European Union to negotiate bilateral agreements between blocs, integration blocs like the European Union on the one hand and other integration blocs in the world, like for instance the Andean Community. And the European Union, their official line has always been to say, well, we want to support other countries to integrate themselves like we did in Europe. But they were also very keen to have open markets, to have better export opportunities for European businesses. And then they came into problems when negotiating with the Andean Community, because when they started negotiating with the Andean Community, it wasn't so difficult, but then there were changes of government, particularly in Bolivia and Ecuador. Before these changes, there were more market-friendly governments in Bolivia and Ecuador, and after these changes, they came to power left-wing governments, and these left-wing governments in Bolivia and Ecuador, they were much more concerned about the possible negative impacts of a free trade agreement with the European Union. And these more left-leaning governments in Bolivia and Ecuador, they said, well, maybe there will be a severe negative impact for our economy if we have to lower, for instance, our tariffs. Maybe our businesses won't be able to compete against the European businesses. Maybe we will have problems to provide public services if we have to open up our markets to European service providers. Maybe our agriculture could suffer if we have to open up our markets to the highly subsidized European agricultural products. And therefore, Bolivia and Ecuador were not so keen to negotiate with the European Union. And then finally, they decided to withdraw from these negotiations.
Venezuela je zapustila andsko skupnost držav že pred leti zaradi tvorjenja prostotrgovinskega sporazuma med Združenimi državami Amerike ter Kolumbijo. Bolivija in Ekvador sta ostali v andski skupnosti držav, vendar pa sta, kot rečeno, zaradi spremembe v političnem vrhu spremenile odnos do trgovine, do ekonomije, do gospodarstva in do sodelovanja z Evropsko unijo in se odločile zaradi strahov po težjem življenju ljudi, zaradi raznoraznih členov, ki vsebujejo takšne zadeve, kot je usiljevanje javnih servisov tem državam, da so od tega sporazuma odstopile. Čeprav je Kolumbija ta, ki ima veliko hujši primankljaj v človekovih pravicah in v kršenju leteh kot pa Peru, seveda tudi tam ni vse najbolje in najlepše in seveda predvsem na račun investicij z Zahoda in pa koriščenja naravnih virov, tudi tam ljudje izkušajo podobne probleme kot pa v Kolumbiji. Poslušajmo, kako se zadeve kako zadeve potekajo v tej deželi.
The situation isn't as difficult as in Colombia, but there are also a lot of land conflicts going on in Peru, particularly because of the mining industry, which is expanding very rapidly in Colombia. A lot of concessions for exploration in the oil and gas sector also are given to companies, and both together, the mining concessions and the oil and gas exploration activities, they are also affecting rural communities, farming communities, who lose their lands to these companies who are trying to explore new mines, who are trying to explore new wells of oil and gas. And because of these exploratory activities, there are a lot of conflicts going on, and many of these conflicts also turn violent in Peru. And this is also one of the main reasons for human rights violations, particularly violations between local communities, rural communities in Peru, and the state authorities and the police and the military, which are then called in to defend the interests of the companies, and who have a lot of violent clashes with rural communities in Peru. Therefore, there are some similar problems in Peru as well, and these problems might be strengthened, and these violations might go on if we have a free trade agreement and a lot without proper social standards, which are ensuring the rights of the local communities. This is one of the main legs of this free trade agreement, that we have a very far-reaching investor rights, but the social rights and social standards, they are very, very weak in this agreement.
Torej, zaradi pomankanja pravic ljudi se v Peruju godi akumulacija z razlastitvijo. Kako to poteka v Kolumbiji, nam bo pa več povedal David Maher iz Univerze v Kentu.
This displacement is happening in many regions of Colombia. So the department of Meta, for example, if you look at certain areas where palm oil is being planted, Vista Hermosa, for example, or other areas in the Meta department, you see a lot of displacement happening, a lot of displacement occurring in these areas. It's in the thousands, you know, it's not 100, it's not 200. You know, throughout from 2000 to 2010, there have literally been thousands of people displaced in Meta. There have been thousands of people displaced in Nariño, especially in Tumaco. And the other problem with this is you have the Afro-Colombian population. The displacement of this population of Colombia is huge, especially in Nariño and on the Pacific coast, so in Chocó as well. You have, this is what David Harvey would call accumulation by dispossession, because under the constitution, the new constitution of Colombia, these people were given land rights. So they have rights to their land, but when the paramilitaries come, they can literally displace them from this land, and they terrorize these areas. So the people in these areas, the Afro-Colombian population, are unable really to claim this land back, because if they do, they face paramilitary death squads. So you can see real dispossession of things like land titles happening in Colombia. Of course, you also have the other problem that many of the settlers in these areas don't have legal land titles to the land, because for whatever reason it may be, these campesinos don't have the land titles. So the paramilitaries will come, clear them off their land, plant they plant coca as well, but they will also plant African palm. And then this obviously enters the globalized neoliberal economy, and it will do so much more, I think, in the future as the biofuel market begins to expand.
Omenjena je bila afrokolumbijska skupnost. Povemo, da ta sestavlja 30% od 45 milijonskega prebivalstva in pa, da je kar 79% te skupnosti razseljeno in seveda ne na miren način, temveč vedno z nasiljem, vedno z usmrtitvami, preganjanjem in tako naprej. Nadaljujemo z Davidom Maherjem in pa kako se tam spostavljajo kooperative, zadruge, ki imajo sicer pri nas pozitiven pomen, pri njih pa vsekakor ne.
Trade unions are being attacked in many different ways, whether it's through direct violence or through the formation of things called cooperatives. Now these cooperatives take many, many, many poor peasant farmers and they essentially, under Colombian law, see them as being employers, not as employees. Under Colombian law, you can form a trade union if you're considered to be an employer. So the number of unionists, so the palm oil industry is expanding heavily and in a fast manner in Colombia, but at the same time, trade union membership has declined significantly. So you have many different facets of problems with being a trade unionist in Colombia. And this is, I think, an essential problem of this free trade agreement in that it completely overlooks, even though these safeguards are claimed to be in place, the fact that Colombia continues to be the most dangerous place in the world to be a trade unionist means that this free trade agreement is extremely problematic.
Končali smo s sindikalisti, povejmo, da je združeno v sindikalna gibanja le 5% delavcev v tej državi in da jih le 2% zaposlenih poseduje kolektivno pogodbo. Mi pa se pomaknimo naprej k razlastitvam lastnih zemljišč, povejmo, da je Nacionalna agencija za vodikov glike, Agencija Nacional de Hidro... K- Zlatar Buros, namenila 17 milijonov hektarjev, kar je za polovico Nemčije veliko ozemlje, raznim naftnim podjetjem, vendar pa je od teh 17 milijonov naravnih rezervoarjev tudi na pretek raznoraznih ljudstev, ki živijo na tem področju, ki so zaradi tega prav tako ogroženi, tako njihova sedanjost kot prihodnost, tako njihovo zdravje kot dostop do hrane. Poslušajmo pa si, kar si Kolumbija želi v prihodnosti. Danes je peta po vrsti največjih proizvajalk palmovega olja, ki sicer povzroča povsod po svetu, predvsem v Afriki in pa jugovzhodni Aziji, mnogotere tegobe, tako usmrtitve raznih ljudstev, ki se ne želijo umakniti proizvajalcem oziroma gojiteljem afriške palme, temveč tudi povsem popolno degradacijo okolja, totalno erozijo zemlje, na kateri le nekaj letih gojenja afriške palme ni moč česarkoli gojiti. Pa vsi poslušajmo, kako poteka ta proces v Kolumbiji. David Meyer.
The palm oil industry looks set to be imperative to the globalized economy. Especially this idea of a neoliberal economy, most poignantly because of the biofuel industry. Palm oil can be used heavily in the, is set to become used heavily in the biodiesel industry. Colombia is about the fifth largest producer of palm oil, but it looks set to increase. This looks set to increase in the future. The problem is that there is a huge amount of violence associated with palm oil. And this is where most of my research looks at. Basically, the neoliberalization of Colombia's economy in light of violence, especially violence perpetrated by the Colombian state and violence perpetrated by the right-wing paramilitaries, who have often, I mean, it's very well documented, Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International, many other NGOs, the links between the Colombian government, i.e. its military, its police force, etc., and these right-wing paramilitary groups who are responsible for a huge amount of human rights violations. Palm oil looks set to increase in the future, especially exports of palm oil from Colombia. The problem is there are deep linkages between the paramilitaries and palm oil. So, for example, you need quite a lot of land to cultivate palm oil. In areas like Tumaco, which is in Nariño, you have a process of land dispossession or land grabs where the paramilitaries come and they take these huge swathes of land, plant African palm on these lands, and then cultivate it for palm oil. So there's a lot of violence linked to these neoliberal processes. Of course, international trade, foreign direct investment, these kinds of processes are central to the neoliberalization of an economy. Foreign direct investment, especially in the oil industry, has also been underpinned in some areas, for example, in Arauca, by violence. And the US has supported the Colombian government through lots and lots of aid through Pan-Colombia, but also specific aid programs and to protect things like the Cañón Limón oil pipeline.
Posvetimo se številkam. Koliko ljudi je bilo razlaščenih in s kako širokega ozemlja? Thomas Fritz.
The numbers are very frightening. It is estimated that from 1985 onwards till today, there have been 4.5 million people who have been expelled from their lands in Colombia. That's almost 10% of the whole Colombian population which has been dispossessed. And therefore, this is not a minority. These are a lot of people which have been affected by the civil war. And yes, it hasn't been. There has been no resolution until now of this of these land grabbing and land robbery, which has been going on for many, many years in Colombia.
Do you have any knowledge as to how much of this lost land for the people is now in the hands of various corporations?
There are estimations regarding the size of the land, which has been illegally occupied by businesses. And these estimations say that maybe something about 5 million, between 5 million and 6 million hectares of land have been occupied. That's a lot. Germany, for instance, has a whole area of 35 million hectares. So it's more or less the seventh part of the size of Germany, which has been illegally occupied, no, in the country of Colombia. No? That's really a lot of land, where there are now land conflicts going on, no? Ownership conflicts going on.
Kaj pa sicer pomeni prostotrgovinski sporazum? Manj zdravil, dražja zdravila, saj generičnih ne bodo smeli prodajati. Kar pa se tiče rastlin in pa semen, ponovno Thomas Fritz.
Yes, that's another problem. Also it has to do with intellectual property rights, like the drugs issue. That is the intellectual property rights on seeds, and the European Union is demanding a very strict application of property rights when it comes to seeds, that is to say the breeders' rights. And they want that the breeders, and these are mainly large seed companies, that their rights to market the seeds have to be protected. And this may interfere with the traditional use of seeds by farmers, by indigenous peoples in the Andean countries, who are used to trade and to interchange the seeds they themselves used in the countryside. And now this trade and interchange of seeds in the countryside may be a violation of the new laws which have to be adopted in the Andean countries, the new seed laws which they will have to adopt in the Andean countries. And this may be very dangerous for the food security if farmers are not anymore allowed to use their own seeds and instead have to buy all the seeds. Then they have to pay a lot of money, and this may be very difficult for a lot of farmers who can't afford paying the large prices of commercial seeds. And therefore, this might be a threat to the food security situation in the rural communes, but maybe also in the urban areas in the affected Andean countries.
Torej, ameriški sporazum s Kolumbijo je sprejet. Prva pošiljka iz Amerike Kolumbiji so bili Harley Davidsoni, prva pošiljka Kolumbije Ameriki pa rože. Sicer pa sporazum med Evropsko unijo in Kolumbijo ter Perujem še ni sprejet. Thomas Fritz se je že pred leti poukvarjal s tematiko in lobiral proti nadaljevanju spostavitve takega sporazuma. Kakšne bodo njegove dejavnosti v prihodnje?
We are part of a larger European-wide campaign which will try to convince not only the European Parliament, where it still has to be adopted now, we are still in the ratification process, but also the national parliaments. As you rightly said, this is a so-called mixed agreement, and this means that it's not only a decision which has to be taken, or ratification, which has to be decided positively on the European level, but it must also be ratified by all the European and national parliaments of the whole European Union. And therefore, we will also try to lobby national parliaments to think whether it's really responsible now to have a free trade agreement with Colombia and Peru, given the very severe human rights records of both countries in the moment.
Well, as well as European corporations operating there, huh?
Yes, it's not. You are right. It's not the human rights violations are not only violations which where the responsibility has to be taken by the governments of Peru and Colombia, but the responsibility rests very often also with the investors, and among them also a lot of European companies. There have already been several trials against European companies which have been accused of human rights violations in Colombia and in Peru, particularly. Or, for instance, the British Petroleum has been convicted of human rights violations. They have collaborated with armed groups in Colombia, and they were also involved in the eviction of farmers in Colombia. Therefore, this is only one example, but there are a lot more examples of European companies which are also responsible for human rights violations in these countries. That's right.
Toliko o prostotrgovinskih sporazumih za danes. Z vami smo bili Tomas Fritz iz Centra za raziskave in dokumentacijo Čile Latinska Amerika ter David Mayer iz Univerze Kent, tehnik Jure in Matej. Lepo pozdravljeni, srečno.
In ko pridem jaz nazaj, ne pa te samo ostane, imam tiste dolge hodnike, ne. Tam dol so vrata, pa trebaha, ne. In jaz pridem tam, pa prem vrata, pa ne vidiš. Pa tam dol zagledam Madonna in ošlo.
Res.
Je bil pa lep, mlad in tudi siv, ne ta nemški občalnik, ne, črn pa to ne, prav tista prava volk, ne, krasen.
Radijske zgodbe o ljudih, ki ustvarjajo duh časa, na Radiu Študent.